All say amen.
Amen.
Let us all say amen again.
Amen.
Amen. It is truly a blessing to be here and to see that we have truly been blessed to see another year.
Amen.
And it is great to see all those who decided to start their new years off right.
Amen.
By being gathered together in spirit and in truth in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
They could think of no better place to be. Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday we had a great fellowship. I was here for a little bit of it, and we did it early to make sure that people would be here on time, right? But after 8 o'clock, whatever happened, that was on them people, right? So some people might be still waking up, but we pray that if they're on their way, we pray that they get here. If not, we pray that they can make it the next point of time. Amen. And we are truly blessed to be here again, and we have to realize, though, every new year, it's a new beginning for most of us, but we have to understand and realize that it is bringing us closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which it behooves us to try to get ourselves closer to Him. So on that new year, or every new year, we should, our New Year's resolution should be to get closer to God. Am I right about it?
Amen.
That should be our main goal, because one of those new years might not come, right? He might come before the year is ended, and we might not be able to see 2013. We have been blessed to see 2012, the beginning. We might not see day two of 2012. Am I right about it? So our goal in life should be always trying to get closer to God, because I believe we all have the ultimate goal of making heaven our home. Am I right about it? And if you think of all the places that you travel in your life, you go to different places, and there's places that we've never been that we might want to go, right? And we picture those places, and we have a desire to go there. And some of us has been to those places, like to the Bahamas or Jamaica, Hawaii, and all these special holiday places, or what are they called, vacation spots, right? But I understand that once you go there, it's exciting to go and to experience that whole new experience. But on that way home, and when you get back home, there's a different feeling than what you felt while you was out there in that other place, right? And you realize that there's no place like home, right?
Amen.
When you get home and you get to put those suitcases down and unpack your suitcases and get to sleep in your own bed, you realize that there's no place like home, right?
Amen.
Even though that place that you might have visited was a beautiful place and it might have great sights and beautiful people that you was able to see, but once you got home, there's a different feeling that you have when you get home, right? You feel comfortable, and you are able to do what you usually do, and you can relax and kick off your shoes a certain way that you couldn't do it when you was traveling, right?
Amen.
But once you get back home, you realize that there is no place like home. And this saying, what do we hear this saying from? What is a popular, what is this popular for? Ain't no place. Are there, what? The Wizard of Oz, right? Or The Wiz, right? Some of us have seen that, right? And we know that story. Dorothy, she was caught in the storm, right? And she woke up and she realized, she told Toto, we are not in Kansas anymore, right? And they realized that they was in a strange land. There was somewhere that they were not supposed to be. They were not at home. And I believe we as Christians have to realize that we are not at home anymore in this place, right? We sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through." Am I right about it? And we just sung that song. We're camping towards Canaan's land. And when you're camping, that means you're not going there to stay, right? It's just a temporary stay. And we have to understand as Christians that we are in a temporary stay here on this earth. Now, we all have houses that we go to. And again, like I said, when you come back to that house, you feel comfortable at home. But in this world, just like Dorothy, she realized she was in a strange land, a land of Oz. And it's like we see in this world, things are getting stranger and stranger, right? Every year, something happens strange. Am I right about it? It seems people are doing strange things and different things change that are just not in the ordinary. And we feel that sometimes the norm is no longer the norm, right? Those things that we used to say you used to couldn't do, now it seems like it's able to do. And people are allowing certain things to go on. And it making us as Christians, looking through the eyes and the mind of Christ, we feel uncomfortable, right? We feel like we don't belong here in this place. These folk don't make me feel comfortable. They're not doing the same things that I'm doing. They're not going the same place that I'm going. So we should understand and realize that this world is not our home. And Dorothy, once she came to that realization, somebody told her that she had to get on what color road? The yellow brick road, right? Somebody told her which way to go if she wanted to make it home. And we all know that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, right?
Amen.
He says to enter ye in at the straight gate, right? Then he says, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and which is our goal. We all want to make it to that eternal goal one day. And Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if people today, they choose their own way. They have their own ways that they would like to choose. But Jesus clearly states that he is the way. There's no other prophet or apostle or any person in the world after Christ who can lead us to heaven. Am I right about it? And I guess it was the witch of the West, the good witch of the whatever, told her she had to get on the yellow brick road, right? Now, if she would have took the green brick road, or she would have took the blue brick road, or any other colored road, she would have not made it to the place where she was trying to go. Am I right about it? But she had to follow the yellow brick road. And we as Christians have to continue to be focused on Christ and follow the road. And we know that is the way to Christ. There is no other way to Christ and to make it to heaven. And then on her way down the road, she met these three characters, right? You guys know the story, right? It was first, when she first got on the road, she met Michael Jackson, right? the Scarecrow, right? If you've seen the Oz, she was Michael. But anyway, she met the Scarecrow. And then she met the Tin Man, right? And she met the Cowardly Lion. And each of these, and we're going to look at those three characteristics. And I believe that's what the purpose of this story, not just the entertainment to see these people go through this strange situation, but there was, I think, a message in there that we need these characteristics to make it home. If we want to make it home, we need these characteristics. Now, the first one was Scarecrow needed a brain, right? Then the Tin Man needed heart, some TLC, right? And then the Cowardly Lion needed some courage. And I believe that we as Christians, we're going to need to have some knowledge, first of all, right? And I talk about knowledge all the time because we know that ye shall know the truth, and the truth is what will make you free. And without knowledge, you just would be lost. You don't know it. You cannot understand it. If you don't be taught, the Bible says, how can they hear unless they be taught? And how can they be taught unless there is a preacher and he be sent? Amen? So we want to understand that first you need to have knowledge. In John chapter 8, we see that we have wisdom from above. Then in James chapter 3 and verse 17, let's look at James chapter 3 and 17 says we are made wise in Christ. Then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 10. And it's just to understand so we can know how important it is to have the wisdom. If we want to be free from the bonds of sin and free from this strange land, we have to have some information. And there are people who don't have the knowledge that we obtain. And then our goal as those who have the knowledge, who have the information, to try to transfer that information to those who don't have it, right? We have to teach those and encourage those who don't know. And some people just don't want to know, right? And we have to understand that. But our job is still to continue to inform these people on what thus said the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. People might think that, oh, you crazy, man. Or you think that you're going to make it to heaven. You think there is a God, this invisible God, those people who don't believe in God. But we have to understand that we are made wise with that understanding. We are not just foolish people who walk around not knowing what their purpose is and not knowing what their ultimate destination is. But we are made wise through the word of God. And then the Bible says, whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, for belief to come, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have to have knowledge, first of all. And I believe that the scarecrow, he was in a situation where he was stuck. He couldn't get down from the thing. He was singing a song, how can I get out of this situation? But he needed the knowledge to know how, and he could have just moved his arm, really, and got down, but he didn't know no better, right? Until Dorothy came along and helped him down from the thing, and then for him to get more knowledge, he had to go and continue on that road. And that's why the Bible says to add to your faith knowledge. There's a question about how old you should be, or how much you should understand before you get baptized. But the Bible first tells you that you must believe, right? And then once you have the faith and you believe that Christ is the Son of God, then you add to that faith knowledge, right? Then that's why we have to study and continue to study. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we get knowledge and we gain knowledge by studying the word of God. And then the Bible also tells us, then after we see that it was the scarecrow, he needed a brain. And then there was the tin man who needed some TLC. He was stuck in the rain. He had rusted up, right? And there was nobody there to put some oil on him, right? He needed some TLC. And we as Christians, we have to receive love first. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then once we receive the love of God, we have to show love to somebody else. Am I right about it? So in order to, we have to first learn how to be loved. Then we have to learn to love in order to receive that love again, right? And it's like a circle, and it goes around. And if you ain't giving out no love, you're not going to get the love, right? God gave us that grace that in the beginning, right? That grace when he sent his Son, we had nothing to do with that. There was nothing we could do about it, and there's nothing we can change that. That was set up for us already, and that is the grace of God. People say we're saved by grace. Yes, because God set that plan up for us way back before, right? And that grace of God, and then he showed us his love by sending his Son. But then you have to continue to get his love by being obedient to his will. Now, those who we have all seen, God, the sun shines on the just and it shines on the unjust, right? And it rains on the just and on the unjust. But when we want that love that we're talking about is that ultimate goal of making heaven our home. And I believe that it should be our ultimate goal. Am I right about it? And so we know that. And then we have to have love. The Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 38, it says, first of all, we have to love God. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. Then he said, next is to love thy neighbor as thyself, right? And so we know that we need love on this road to make it to heaven. And then John chapter 13 and 35, Jesus says, they will know that you are my disciples by the way, if you have love one for another. It is important that we show love one to another. Now, we might have love for our close family and friends, or we might have a group of people in the congregation. You know how it is. Sometimes we have cliques and those people that we get along with better. But our love should be for all, each and every one of our brothers. Those at this location, those at the other location, those on the other part of the world, we must have love one for another to show that we are the disciples of Christ. Now, like us people, the name and all that is very important. But if you got the truth and you don't have the Spirit of God, which is love, am I right about it? That's why I say worship him in spirit and in truth. If you don't have the love of God, then your worship is in vain. So we have to try to strive to learn how to love, even if a person does us wrong. Even if we find them that they ain't right, and sometimes we still have to learn to love them. We have to forgive if we want to be forgiven. We have to love if we want to be loved. Like I said, the Bible says you reap what you sow. The love you put out is the love you're going to get back. The forgiveness you forgive that you put out is the forgiveness that you're going to receive. And we have to understand that these are important things that we need on the road home. And then John says, John 15 and 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And we have to understand that the word of God is love. And this is a love letter that he sent to us. And we have to continue to read it so that we can fall more deeper in love with him. We sing that song, I keep falling in love with him over and over. He gets sweeter and sweeter. But that comes through the study of his word, because we won't know how much he's blessing us. We won't know what our gifts is and our purpose is and what our ultimate goal is unless we study his word. The Bible says, and then finally we have to love our enemies, right? Like I said, folk might do you wrong. And you see them the next day, you can't be ready to do them wrong, right? You should be have your hand out. How you doing this morning? It's this one guy I work with. He always got something to say. Especially I told him I started preaching. He always got something to say. And he be pushing, trying to push my button. He's like, I'm making you mad. And I was like, no, you're not. I'm going to get you upset. I said, nah, man, you all right. Just calm down a little bit. You know, I know what his purpose. He's trying to trick me up and try to say, oh, a preacher ain't supposed to this and that. And I was like, what do you know what a preacher's supposed to do? You don't even go to church, you know. But these people, they try to trip you up and things like that. But we still have to love them, even though we still have to love them. We cannot have grudges, and we cannot be hateful towards somebody. Oh, he did me wrong, so I'm going to do him wrong. Vengeance is not part of love. Those things are not examples of love. The Bible says that it's long-suffering, and it have temperance and patience. All these things are loving for that another person. He might get on your last nerve, but you have to be patient with him, and you have to have temperance and self-control with that person. Because if you haul off and retaliate the way he retaliates, that puts you in the same state that he is in. That puts you on the same level that he is. But we are a royal generation, you know, royal, holy people, right? And we better than that. We have to understand that. We can't get down in those levels. So the love separates us from them. Am I right about it? The love of God through his grace and our love for men. Then, we have the cowardly lion. And he needed some courage. And I believe this is important for us to have, because, first of all, you need courage to make that decision that I'm going to change, right?
Amen.
It takes courage to be a rebel, to go against the grain. The world is flowing this way, right? And we as Christians are going the opposite direction, right? We're not trying to go the same way that they're going. We don't live the same way that they live. We don't do the same thing. Some of them can't wake up this morning because they had too much fun last night, right? But we see that those who love the Lord and who found it important that this morning was a good day to get up and to prepare yourself Saturday night, right? If you find yourself in the club early in the morning at 2:30, it's you in the club Sunday morning. See what I'm saying? So we have to think about that. Where you at? What are you thinking about? And we have to have that courage to stand up and say, I'm not going. My bad. I'm sorry if I offend you, but I'm not going. And then when we came to the knowledge, some of us was in denominations at one time. We had to come to that courage and say, look here, Reverend so-and-so, I'm leaving, right? Or we had to tell Mama, I'm not going to be a Baptist no more. Or Mama, I'm going to get baptized or something like that. You know, all those things, it takes courage to make changes. And we have to understand that we are should be the most bravest people, because we have made that change, and we stand up for the fact that there is only one church. It takes courage to stand up for that. Am I right about it? And we teach the fact that there is only one Lord, and that there's only one faith, and there's only one baptism. To even be as saying that there's one, to be narrow-minded, is to be having some courage, right? And courage also is the opposite of fear, right? And if we were afraid, we would say, well, maybe y'all might be right, or maybe he might come back for y'all. Even though the Bible tells us the opposite, we will be fearful of man, right? But the Bible tells us to fear not what man could do to us, but to fear God, because God, even though a man could kill you, but God can kill your physical body and your soul, see? And we want to live after we die. If that man kills us, we can say, well, I'll keep on living after I die. I've got a home prepared for me somewhere in heaven where if you take my physical body, I know that I'm going to have another place prepared for me, right? And we have to have that courage to be able to stand up and say, I am changed, I'm different, I am a Christian, a true Christian, and we have to be strong. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20 says to be strong and of good courage, right? And we have to, and then in Psalms it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? There should be no reason for you to have fear. And the Bible tells that God does not give us a spirit of fear. And then the Bible also says when it comes to love, that there is no fear in love. John, 1 John chapter 4 and 18. That if you have love, you won't even be afraid to forgive that person. You won't be afraid to help those people out because you know that God is going to provide for you. When you're giving, you're going to be loving and charitable in your giving, where you can give amount that you probably usually don't give, but you know that you're going to be blessed because God loveth a cheerful giver. Am I right about him? So we have to have the courage to stand and to be ready to stand up and stand on the word and stand for the word. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:6, I will not fear what man could do. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. And none of those things which the Bible tells us in Revelation is not to fear any of those things that we suffer. We go through trials and tribulations, but we should not be afraid of those things that we go through, because we know that if we suffer as a Christian, he said, blessed are those who die in the Lord, right? Amen. Because if we suffer those trials and tribulations, but we hold on to God's unchanging hand, we know that one day we will rise and there will be a place prepared for us. Jesus said that I go to prepare a place, and we're going to get to the home so we can focus and see that picture of home. If you take it takes a whole lot of courage to make a change and to be different, to rebel and go against the grain, not to conform to the norm of this world. It takes courage. And to admit that, first, a lot of people, we have to admit that we're wrong. And it takes courage to say, well, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. You know, I made a mistake. Or I thought that's what the Bible said. But now that you showed me the truth, you have to be able to have courage to accept the fact that you was wrong. Am I right about it? Amen. Courage is very important. It is a great characteristic to have as a Christian. Because if you fear, the Bible tells in Revelation, he said, the fearful and the unbelieving. And then he goes to mention the whoremongers, and all these terrible sins are added with fear and unbelieving, which is doubt. And if you have doubt and fear, he says that you cannot make it to the kingdom of heaven. So we have to have courage and to have love. And we have to study the Bible so that our knowledge can grow, that we can add to our faith knowledge, and that we can continue to be hard-fighting soldiers. And like I said, it's a road that we're trying to get from this place. I believe it's chapter 7, and Jesus was talking about that this world is not our home. He said, I am not of this world, and they are not of this world, because even though we live in the world, we are not of this world, because our mind state has been renewed. And like why he said, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't see the things the same way that everybody else see them. And that's what we have to study the Bible and get the knowledge and also learn to love and also get courage. And then finally, once we have made it and we find the plan and we start to work on our courage, some folk need to find their way on the right road. And how do you get to the right road? First, you have to hear, right? And that is the knowledge. Hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died and was buried and rose on the third day for our sins. Then you must believe that. And that also comes with the knowledge, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Am I right about it? And then we must repent of our sins, which is courage, to change your mind, to go against the grain, to say that I'm not going to run with y'all the way I used to run with y'all, to be able to accept the fact that you're going to be alone sometimes, right? I don't have the same. My friends, I used to have a lot of friends come over. When I changed my ways, they stopped coming over because we're not doing the same thing, right? So you're going to be alone, and you're going to be rebuked, and you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be ostracized by your friends and your family, but you still have to have the courage to stand and to change and to fight the good fight of faith. Then you must confess to Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and then you will have to be washed for the remission of your sin. And again, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 6, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous, and he begins to mention all those sins, and he says that such was some of you. At a time, we were in that same situation, but we had to make that change in our heart. And we decided that we're going to go down in that water and have our sins washed away, and we're going to change our mind and walk down the right road, right? And we're going to get off the blue brick road and the green brick road, but we're going to get on the yellow brick road so that we can make heaven our home. And you know, there's some wizards and all these other things, but I believe that the main part of that story was the knowledge that the characters needed, the faith and the love that they needed, and we can apply that to our lives. And then, finally, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, where we were. Abraham, the Bible says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents, right? And we sing the song Camping, right? That was good. And Abraham had to dwell. He did a whole lot of camping. Am I right about it? It says, in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whom builder and maker is God. Amen? See, we have to be looking for that new home. Like I said, this world down here is not going to last, and it's temporary. It's right. Just like a tabernacle, a tent. Yeah. And one day we're going to have to fold our tents up, right? And because our journey is going to be over. We're like pilgrims and strangers, right? And we're traveling through the land. Now, pilgrims, they go on the pilgrim. When the pilgrims came over here, you see what they did when they got here. They stayed, right? Yeah. They was on their pilgrimage, and they were supposed to, you know, sometimes a pilgrimage, you go there and you come back, right? But we on a pilgrimage where we just trying to go one way. We're on a one-way trip, and we trying to make heaven our home. And just like Abraham, by faith, we travel through this trip. And like I said, it comes through the knowledge, and we believe that there is a place set up for us to have eternal salvation. And again, let's look at Revelations before I go. Paint the picture so we can see what it is that we're looking for, what our home looks like, might look like, could fathomably appear to be like, because we really don't know. Am I right about it? And John is trying to paint this picture for us so that we could see it, and he's giving us a parabolistic description of heaven in a way that we can understand it in our earthly understanding. And he said in Revelation 21, and we can start at verse number 4. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then let's go to verse 18. It says, and in that building, it says, there are the walls of jasper, right? And the city is pure of gold, and the foundations are made of many gems and precious stones. Then in verse 21, it says, and the 12 gates are made of pearls. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Walls of jasper, gates of pearls, and a golden city where we're going to be, that Jesus has prepared for us. And the nations of them, verse 24, which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there all in no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And this is just a description of how beautiful this place is going to be. And if we, like I said, if you had this place that you wanted to go to, you put the picture in your wall, right? And you try to picture that place, and you set your goal, and you focus your mind on that goal. And I believe that if heaven is our home, we should read Revelations and look at the description and always put that in our heart that this is temporary and we want heaven to be our home.
Amen.
Amen. And if there's any of those who don't, or who are not on the right road now, again, you must be baptized. And that will put you in the way, on your way, and in the right path toward making it to heaven. And for those who are in the road or on the road, we have to try to add those characteristics to ourselves that we must continue to study for the knowledge. And we have to continue to love one another and love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our mind and with all our soul. And we have to have the courage to stand and to fight against Satan, because he is our adversary and he is on our tracks trying to hunt us down. Am I right about it? So let us all stand and sing the song of invitation.